I feel like I should tell you how my day has gone. Just because you will find humor in it, and if I don't cry, we'll be good. But so I signed up for the women's retreat even before I had the time off. My work has become very challenging. Time off has been very difficult. And so I thought, okay, Lord, I'm just going to go for it. And if I can't go, someone else will be able to go. So I found out about 3 weeks after all of our registrations went in that I got the 2 days. Since then, we've had a couple people not work and quit and things like that. And so we're real stretched. So I got to land on the 6 o'clock shift, which I asked her to put me on, which means I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning and worked the 6 o'clock shift, and we're short-staffed. And then we had a melee of things happen at work. And the Lord thought he was going to be sure that I am practicing what I am teaching, so I would have opportunity for that. And I thank the Lord that it went that way. Thank you that everything turned out. And but normally if you're at 6 o'clock, you get lunch at 11. So I didn't get lunch at 11 because we were real busy. So they finally said, Sylvie, why don't you take your lunch now? Well, it was about noon. I look at my phone and I've got all kinds of messages. I've got phone calls, and I look at my messages, and you'd have to be in my shoes, but Deb Fetter said, I'm with you in spirit, Sylvia, and although I won't be there tonight, I'm praying for you for speaking tonight. And what are you speaking on? And I thought, then I have Annie B. Oh, my dear friend. I had shared with her that I just felt really convicted that I need to pray for the people that were going to come to my condo chat. And so she and I were both, she said, you know, that is excellent. You know, and yes. You know, I said, whether two come or 10, I'm praying for every one of them that's going to be there, that the Lord is meeting the need that's there. So you're seeing how this is working out. And then I have a voice message, and it was Chris Biles, and she sounded wonderful on the other end of the phone. And I was in the locker room at this time, and I just said, okay, Lord, let's do this. Okay, you are in control, and you're going to be hearing all about that. And so made the quick phone call, and then hustled back to work. So I got off at 2 o'clock, as planned, drove home. I was home by 2:30. I'm sitting with my suitcase, waiting for Rachel. Then Rachel gets a hold of me and says, I have been delayed. Well, I just want you guys to know, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus or anything, but we started out at 4:30. You do the math. My Google said it would take us 2 hours and 10 minutes to get here. I looked at Rachel. I said, Rachel, we're here 25 minutes early. So I am thankful that the Lord undertook for a sheriff and for the town cop, because we passed him. And at one point, I mean, the sheriff passed us then, and Rachel's like waving. And I'm thinking, God has a sense of humor. And I know I thought, well, if we get pulled over, I mean, you know, that's another 10 minutes. No, I was just thinking time. So, with all of that, I told him, you know, if I would have known that I had PowerPoint and could have had things for you to fill out, I got all kinds of stuff you could have been filling out, but God had a different plan. And so we're going to study about that plan. And we'll begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege to, first of all, be saved by your grace, to be given the Word of God that we can read and study, and you can talk to us. And I thank you for the opportunity tonight. I pray, Lord, that your truth would come through loud and clear, and that we would have ears that are quickly and easily willing to listen to you. And I pray that your message would come through and that the vessel would just go by the wayside. And I thank you for the safety driving here, Lord, and I thank you for this group of women, and I just pray for every need of every person, Lord, that you are a faithful God and you know those needs. And it's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, by way of repetition, my name is Sylvia Starka. And I am married to Drew Starka. We just celebrated our 12th wedding anniversary. We attend Duluth Bible Church. I have been saved by God's grace for 41 years now. The Lord has blessed me with 4 children. My oldest daughter, Trista, went to heaven when she was 8 days old, and she's waiting there for me. My other 3 children are grown and married. Ryan Kuchar to Tiffany, Rachel Dybel, who was my escort tonight, to Justin, and Paul Kuchar to Jennifer. I have 4 grandchildren who encourage me to stay active. 3 granddaughters, Alyssa and Ellie, who are 12 years old now, and Trista, a whopping 6 years old, and 1 grandson, Josiah, poor little guy, 5 years old. Diane Lachlan called me several months ago and shared with me that Pastor Roxer wanted a devotional about contentment with a focus towards singleness and marriage. Pastor knows what's needed as he counsels people continuously on these matters. So this evening, we're going to talk about contentment and search the Word of God and let it speak to each of us. So my title is Single or Married, and the and is capitalized, Content. I want each of you to think honestly, and this is the main word, honestly, about this past week. Did you complain about anything this past week? See, in my condo chat, I was going to go around. I'm not going to do that now. Okay. If any of you have something you'd really like to share, raise your hand. How about computers? Anybody complain about computers this week? How about your looks? How about your hair? Women and their hair. How about your kids? Any of you that have children? How about your husband? How about your spiritual walk? Ever read the devotions and then feel like you want to go put your head in the sand? How about your finances? How about your work conditions? Yeah, the Lord laid that one on real heavy today. Thank you, Lord, for any victory that was there. How about, did you say, I wish, and then fill in the blank. I wish, fill in the blank. Like, I wish I could sleep one night uninterrupted. I wish the sun would shine. I wish it would warm up outside. I wish I had a house. I wish I had a bigger house. I wish I had more closets. I wish my house was smaller. It would be so much easier to clean then. Maybe you didn't say it out loud. Maybe you were thinking, look at so-and-so. She has it all. You know, so-and-so can eat anything she wants, and look at how thin she is. Or, I am so tired of being tired. I am so tired of this constant pain. I can't think. I can't do my housework, my laundry. I can't cook meals. I can't do anything. I'm too tired to trust the Lord. I wish I was like so-and-so. She's always so healthy and energetic. She doesn't know how good she has it. Now my paper is really thick. It's hard for me to hold them over here. But I do have lotion on, thanks. So if I fumble, that's why. We basically have two categories of women. One category is married. And the other category is single. But the single category is more detailed in its description. We will say that the single has four different zones. Number one, single with the gift of singleness. Number two, single and waiting for the husband the Lord is going to bring you. Number three, single because of a divorce. Number four, single because you are a widow. When you are married, you can become discontented with marriage, its responsibilities, its restrictions of sorts. With children, dirty diapers, no free time, no me time, always being sleep deprived, constantly smelling like spit up. Maybe the hardship is that you don't have children. You want children, but the Lord hasn't allowed you to have children. You are excluded from the women with children circle and feeling left out and forgotten. Maybe your budget is tight. Maybe your husband is a slob. Or maybe your husband is not romantic anymore. Maybe you covet the single people and their freedom and ability to make plans on a moment's notice. Meanwhile, the singles are tired of being alone. They're tired of being lonely. Some are wishing they had a husband. Any husband, saved or unsaved, something with a heartbeat. Some of the singles are just tired of everybody thinking they are miserable or feeling sorry for their singleness. Some singles are so wrapped up in their own agenda, they have no need for the Lord's leading. This evening, I'm going to talk about contentment. How to be content through God's providence, God's power, and God's promises. They're all in P's, so you can remember. According to Warren Wiersbe commentary, contentment means an inner sufficiency that keeps us at peace in spite of outward circumstances. I'm going to say it again. It's incredible. Try to wrap your head around it. An inner sufficiency that keeps us at peace in spite of outward circumstances. Nice, isn't it? Webster's dictionary says contentment is the condition of being satisfied, the feeling of quiet satisfaction. Philippians 4:11 is our key verse for this devotional. It states, "Not that I speak in respect of want or need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content." I'm going to say it again. Not that I speak in respect of want or need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. Two words are very important in this verse. Learned and content. Learned means learned by experience. Contentment is learned. It is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is learned. The fruit of the Spirit will benefit you to be content, but contentment is learned. Content actually means contained. The Greek word means self-sufficient. Now, this is not implying that you are the power source of this. But once you are saved, you have the power source within you. You are not self-reliant, but Christ-reliant. Contentment is not an I don't care attitude, nor is it a pretend peace based on lack of knowledge or ignorance about a situation. I like this quote. Contentment is not escape from the battle, but rather an abiding peace and confidence in the midst of the battle. I'll say that again. Contentment is not escape from the battle, but rather an abiding peace and confidence in the midst of the battle. As you look at the details of your life, you can know as a believer that God arranges circumstances and situations in your life to fulfill His purposes in you and through you. That is God's providence. Another quote. Life is not a series of accidents. It is a series of appointments. For any of you that have read Elizabeth Elliot's book, Through Gates of Splendor, raise your hand. Okay. In that book, it talks about the five married men that lost their lives on the missionary field. And their five widows responded to the media, as the media referred to it as a tragedy. The widows said it was a divine appointment. the widows were at peace and content. Psalm 32:8 says, I will guide thee with mine eye. This is the providence of God, and it can be a tremendous encouragement to you as a believer when situations occur that you really don't like. Psalm 37:23-24 states, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You see, every step is ordered. Every situation. Put up a big stop sign in your mind as you want to complain, fly off the handle, or have a pity party. Remember, pity is inverted pride. Think. Everything that comes my way is allowed by God. He has okayed it. It has his approval. It didn't surprise God. He is in control of each situation, all the details, and the timing. I read a Mayo Clinic study on how to be more content. It consisted of 5 key points that I will share with you. Number 1, devoting time to family and friends. So they said you can be more content if you devote more time to your family and friends. Number 2, appreciating what you have. Number 3, maintaining an optimistic outlook. Number 4, feeling a sense of purpose. They really encouraged people to have purpose in everything they did. Number 5, living in the moment. As I read the entire Mayo Clinic study, I could see that they kind of mixed contentment and happiness. I'm going to have to rub my nose. I get tired, I feel like crying. So. But it also showed me that flesh is strong. Happiness is based on happenings. So when your happenings aren't happy, the Word of God tells us that we can still have joy. John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Because joy comes from the power source in us, the Spirit of God, Christ in us. Through trials and testing, little by little, the Lord allows circumstances that you must choose. Are you going to trust the Lord or not? The Bible makes it very clear who our power source is. It's God's power. John 15:5 says, without me, you can do nothing. Does it say without me, you can do a little bit? Does it say without me, you can do some things? No, It said, without me, you can do nothing. Big zero, like the grandkids do. Christ is in us by the Holy Spirit power empowering us. John 15 is all about abiding in the vine. We don't produce the fruit, we bear the fruit. The promises of God are what we cling to as a believer. It's what we put our faith in, and we trust God for the outcome. As you think of the details of your life, things you choose to be content with or choose to be discontented with, have verses on file in your brain that you can meditate on, trust in, and rely on. But that means you need to memorize scripture. Tape up note cards all around your house or apartment. Keep note cards of verses in your purse so you can review them when you have the opportunity to do so. Genesis 50:20 says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." A situation may occur that totally takes you by surprise. You're thinking, what is happening here? Remember, God goes before you. He's leading you. He's given you the power source in you as a believer, and he's got a plan for you. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10 says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." In verse 10, the words "take pleasure" actually mean "I am content." Look at that verse again. I am content in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. Those don't sound like good things. The word "weak" means without strength. And the end of verse 10 means "I am strong." You can put right in your Bible, "in the Lord." That's how you're strong. God's grace is sufficient when we need it. You don't save it up. He provides it when you need it and continuously as you need it. It's just amazing. Pastor Roxer had a beautiful illustration of this last Sunday. He talked about how we go to the water cooler and we take a glass of water, and the cooler never empties. It always stays full. It never gets depleted, and that's God's grace. It never gets depleted. It's always full. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." The next verse tells us God's purpose: to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's Jesus Christ. That is a tall order. When you think of Romans 8:28, think of baking a cake from scratch. Well, what I did was I baked cookies from scratch because cake was going to be messy. Okay? And I was thinking about the condo chat, and I was thinking, okay, we're going to have cookies, not cake. So I did make cookies, and I was thinking, like, you know, 2 dozen would be great. Well, anyway, I am going to have Rachel pass out the cookies at the end of this to anybody who would like one. They are not gluten-free. I told Rachel that, too. But it was the illustration that we're going to come to. So I think Scratch might be a lost art soon, though. I think we all need to relish that a little bit. But think of the ingredients. Flour, egg, shortening, cocoa, sugar. Most of those ingredients don't taste good alone. But when you beat it together and bake it, it tastes good. That's the details of your life. The things you may not want to be content with, but rather complain about, they will work together for good, for your good. A good that you don't see right now. But remember Hebrews 13:5. Be content with such things as you have. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness starts in the heart. It's what you are thinking, who you are trusting. Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your needs." One commentary said, God doesn't supply all your greed. He supplies all your needs. As believers, our wants seem to become our needs. Then our focus changes, and we become not content, but contentious. Now the Bible talks about that too. Proverbs 21:19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 25:24. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Now, why did God need to write those verses in the Bible? Can saved women be contentious? Yes, absolutely. I think we all should say amen. But it's when we're not looking to the Lord. Better for our families to be in the wilderness or on the rooftop than with a contentious woman. Now let's read the commentary's definition of contentment again. An inner sufficiency that keeps us at peace in spite of outward circumstances. Think about the lists of things you are complaining about, the things you are wishing for to be different, the things that you are tired of. Whether you are married or single with the gift of singleness, or single and waiting for the husband that the Lord is going to bring to you, or single because of a divorce, or single because you are a widow. Remember, God's providence, every detail of our lives are appointments, not accidents. God's power, the power source is in each believer. God's promises, claim them by faith, trust in them, rely on them. All things work together for good, though all things are not good. Then you can have the condition of being satisfied, or the feeling of quiet satisfaction. When you are content, people will notice, your family will notice, And from there, you can give God the glory and even have opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around you. And if there is anyone here that is not saved, your problem is not contentment, but salvation. There is an area of need that the Lord wants you to be discontented with, and that is being lost, not being saved. I was in college when I had the opportunity to hear the word saved, and that is my question to you. Are you saved? Do you know 100% that you are going to heaven? I'm going to share with you from God's word how you can know right now that you are a child of God. God is perfect and holy. Psalm 99:9 states, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." The Bible gives a clear picture of mankind, each of us. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses," that's the good things we do, "are like filthy rags." The Bible tells us that there is a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But God made a way that we could escape death and hell." Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." This verse was my light bulb verse. It took me out of the equation for heaven. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Faith alone and the finished work of Christ alone saves you forever. John 5:24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has, right now, everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." John 1:12, "To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." No baptism can save you. Confirmation or asking Jesus into your heart can't save you. Walking an aisle, dedicating your life, won't save you. Only Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, faith alone in that alone saves you. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." At the moment you believe, Ephesians 1:13 states, "You are sealed with the Holy Spirit and kept eternally secure forever." For contentment, remember God's providence, God's power, and God's promises. And our goal, I have learned to be content. As I was writing this, I have to be very honest with you. I thought of my mother. And she was an amazing woman. She got saved late in life, thank you, Lord, and was ushered into eternity with him. But she had a way of always seeing the glass half full. And she impacted my life even in a huge way before she was even saved. By the time I was in fourth grade, my mother was a cardiac cripple. She had had 4 massive heart attacks. A big part of that was because of stress, because my dad was mentally ill. He was a paranoid schizophrenic, and he had voices, and those voices were more real than the people around him. And I am so thankful. I can remember doing laundry, and it was not in an automatic machine. It was in a wringer. And then we had to go hang it up outside. And my mom would just encourage me that she would find blessing in the fact that we were washing clothes and not bedclothes. Because as long as you're washing clothes, you know that people are up and moving around and they're not in bed. That impacted me. And I just want to say that there are teachable moments. And you really have to ask yourself, what are you teaching your kids? Are you teaching them through your complaining? And I purposed in my heart, when the Lord gave me children, that I wanted to use teachable moments with my kids. And we have so much. Each of us does. And I can just remember extreme poverty. And that is how I grew up. And finding contentment in all those details, I just thank you, Lord, for the mom that I had. And I would just like to challenge each of you to be different. And I would challenge you to be content. And it is learned, and not overnight. And I have not arrived. Okay? Thank you.